Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello, welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast with me, Stu Sensei. Today I have another special guest, and here today is Lewis from English with Lewis. You may have heard him before, he's been on before, but today's conversation is a bit different to the ones we had in the past. Today we are talking about how a student can improve their writing skills. Let's go. Do you think writing is an important skill these days?
Yes, but it's not as important as listening, understanding, and speaking, in my opinion. I think writing will always be important, but writing is getting easier. Maybe that's a little bit of a controversial statement, but the fact that 98% of my writing is done using Gmail, and it has the feature of like autocorrect as well. So then whenever I'm writing something and I'm not really sure how to spell it and I've forgotten, or maybe I'm like, I've done a typo and made a little mistake, then the machine, the autocorrector will tell me exactly what I should have written, and I can just click a button and it'll be perfect. The same applies on your phone as well, because for most people, writing letters isn't a part of our lives anymore. Writing books, I guess that would have to be very, very, very specific. Other people who are journalists who write reports, I think the information is easier to digest and understand if it's in like a chart or bullet points. And then again, writing is simplified because we are becoming simpler people, perhaps, with a shorter attention span. So I'd say writing's important, but it's not the most important thing. And we have a lot of tools that are built into the technology that we use, which help us to write and make our lives easier, essentially.
That's completely true. Obviously, the internet has helped us out a lot. Technology has helped us out a lot in terms of writing. So we don't have to focus so much on every single detail it tells us. I think that leads to learned helplessness a little bit, you know, where we're then unable to do it ourselves at some point for certain things, not for everything, but for certain things. But I think generally it's more efficient. How about cursive? What do you think about cursive?
To be honest, my way of teaching and understanding things, I try to simplify. So for me, writing and the styles that we write in is always kind of on the back burner, where a lot of the people who come to me for classes will be like, oh yeah, I can write. My writing's great. And I understand all of these booklets and textbooks and manuals and emails I receive, but I can't speak. Sure. I get blocked and I don't know what to say. So then writing really is very kind of straightforward, straight to the point. And of course, we can be persuasive, and it's always good to know different registers as well. What is informal? What's formal? How we can write something for certain purposes. But I think this is a lot more specific to different professions and different lifestyles, which is why, at least in my opinion and in my day-to-day, my writing is so simple, which is why I'm maybe not in a position to be a writing coach for people. Sure. But a speaking coach, yeah, for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I think things like cursive are kind of disappearing because it's inefficient, to be honest with you. Like, when I'm similar to you, I do a lot of speaking coaching and pronunciation coaching. And in terms of writing, one of the things with speaking that I generally say is your message could be as advanced as you want it to be, but if the other person doesn't understand, it's irrelevant because communication hasn't been effective. So for me, that's my feeling on cursive.
most people can't read it. So it's probably a good, better idea to be as simple as possible so that you could communicate your message. Because I always remember my grandma writing me messages and I really didn't get most of it. So,
grandma, you know, what are you on about?
Exactly, exactly. So for me, it's much better to just be as clear as possible, like you said. When we talk about clarity with speaking, then, what do you think are important points to think about so that the students can be as clear as possible?
I'd say connectors are a key thing to add to your repertoire and try to use them as often as you can if you are trying to explain something which might be quite complicated. If you're having a relaxing chat with a friend, then they're not really needed. You're not going to be saying like, furthermore, however, but on the one hand, on the other hand, it's not that natural. We do use these connectors a lot when you are trying to explain something in a presentation, for example, in a meeting. You want to, let's say, explain your ideas in a logical way. So you can begin by saying, well, first of all, first and foremost, or the most important thing I would like to discuss. So it's important to have these little words and phrases to be able to add some kind of logical structure to what you want to express. And it's clear
for the other person who's listening as well, yeah.
Exactly. So that's one thing that I think is really useful, more for specific moments in business or at work. Other than that, one common mistake or something that is overlooked a lot is the emotion that we have as human beings and how we can express that with pitch and showing that you're happy. Because the amount of times that students have said, like, today I'm over the moon. Yeah, I'm on cloud nine. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, really? Like, do you know what it means? And showing this kind of surprise and shock and be like, really? Seriously? Like, show me it. Tell me with your voice. And for a teacher, our voice is one of the most important tools we have that we can really make the most of to show how we feel and to be able to match the vocabulary with the emotion and the behavior. Because if not, it's like, who am I speaking to? Is this Google Translate that I was speaking to earlier? Are they starting to respond? What's going on?
Sure. Yeah, I think emotion and body language is kind of really dismissed a little bit in when people learn language. They think they just, I think it comes from when we're at school and we just go through a process of learning words, you know, memorizing things and not necessarily using it, just reading through and trying to get 100% on each test. And I think that same methodology leads into learning a second language when you're an adult or third or a fourth language. So I think that things like body language and your expression and your emotion is so important because, like you said, in many cultures, maybe they don't need that, but within English, it's important because we are quite expressive. Within English, intonation, for example, is so important to get your point across or where you stress the word in a sentence. So, you know, it can change the meaning completely. So it's definitely a very interesting point that emotion needs to be a big, needs to be something that we need to think about.
With question tags, for example.
Like,
it's something that people struggle with a lot. I explain it and I teach it and I go over it multiple times. But then after that and during that process, I tell them, you can just say right. Right? Right? But when you say it and when you use these words or question tags, they're like, oh, you're English, aren't you? You can play the guitar, can't you? So it's very important for, in particular, certain grammatical structures to use intonation and stress and really show your emotion to make it clear that this is a question. Because if not, it can be a little bit tricky to differentiate between what is a normal sentence, what is a question. And then if you don't have those like cues, then is this a conversation or what? Like something's missing.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you there. But many students may struggle with trying to be more emotive you know, is almost like you said earlier, as a teacher, we're kind of being actors. For people who have never done it before, it must feel very uncomfortable, almost like listening to your voice again, you know, like we said. So how can students practice that? I mean, that is quite a difficult one to do, I think, in front of people, perhaps, at the beginning. So is there methods that students could have to practice that, do you think?
Yeah, so it's a tricky one for sure. Some of the methods that I have mentioned and always preach, like trying to imitate and copy someone, watching series as well, and then see if you can maybe pause the little section that you are watching and try to repeat what they're saying. If it's a series or a film, maybe it's not ideal because you want to enjoy it, because that should be like your reward for studying the language. Now you get to do it in a fun way without having to like stop and start and practice. So maybe it's better for shorter videos, which you can really quickly watch and then repeat out loud. But in general, if you are going out and you are in the lucky situation of having some friends who speak the language as well, who you would go out with, or colleagues, then just kind of listening to how they interact with each other is a really good way of soaking up the way people behave in a different language. I've mentioned many times that in Spain, people are very loud. People shout a lot. And I think I change my behavior and my personality a little bit when I speak in Spanish, because I need to adapt to the way that they have a conversation, and I need to add little phrases, and I need to try to copy what they say, to the extent that my girlfriend, who is Spanish, sometimes she used to use some strange words which would be quite effeminate, and we have similar words in English that usually a man wouldn't say. It depends, of course. But usually it would be something that might be a little bit more childish or not very common. But because she was the person I spoke to the most in Spanish, I started picking up words and phrases that she was using, which as a general rule is amazing to be able to pick up how they speak and add it to your own way of speaking. But then be careful, because they might say little things like, I don't know, in the UK, when you're a little kid, we call our private parts a willy. But then if you are a learner of English and you're 50 years old and you've picked up this word and you say, oh, yeah, I don't know an example because it'd be ridiculous. But yeah, talking about willies. Well, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, we've obviously
Be careful about what kind of vocabulary you pick up, but try to soak up the vocabulary and the pronunciation and the useful phrases that are used around you all the time.
Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate it. Sorry to take up so much of your time. Yeah.
That's it for this episode. Big thanks to Lewis for joining us today. You can find him on Instagram at English with Lewis. And I look forward to speaking to you again on the next episode. Ciao.